Hey, let me go over a few announcements with us. It is awesome to be with you here this morning. I'm looking forward to being in the Gospel according to Luke this morning. And so we will be in chapter 10 if you want to go ahead and be there. But let me go over just a few announcements with you. And then we got a video, and then Jordan is going to come up and share with you as well. Our Wednesday night fellowship meals and WBC Kids will resume this Wednesday, August the 28th. The meal will be served at 5:30, and classes for all ages will begin at 6:30. We'll once again need desserts for the meal. Registration for WBC Kids is open on the church website, so go on there and sign those kids up. Baptist Children's Home and Family Services in Carmi will hold its annual fall festival on Saturday, September the 21st from 10 to 2. If you'd like to help with the Waldo booth or would like more information, please speak with Jordan and Megan McClellan, and you're going to hear a little bit more on that here in just a little bit. But right now, we're going to show you a video.
We at the Baptist Children's Home and Family Services believe in God-given life. We are called to be Christ's healing hand to every age group who needs help navigating life's journey. From the preborn through adults, our ministry provides programming designed to restore a positive direction for those we minister to. Our newest ministry, Grace Haven, is a pregnancy resource clinic providing testing, ultrasounds, along with prenatal and parenting education. Our mission is to provide enough resources that allow clients to choose life and save unborn children's lives. Angels Cove provides maternity care for pregnant women and their children. Our facility offers a place to live if needed, along with prenatal care, parental education, counseling, family care, and aftercare. We work with each individual according to their needs. Our faith adoptions ministry continues to grow. We strive to place children with loving Christian parents across the region. Faith Adoptions is fully licensed in adoptive services in Illinois and has the experience to handle complicated adoptions. The personal care, attention to detail, and willingness to create a positive experience for all involved is wrapped in God's love for every child. Pathways Counseling offers grace-based counseling through licensed clinical services to children, individuals, couples, and families. Utilizing the individual's strengths, our professionally licensed therapist will help them overcome their challenges and achieve personal goals. We understand that every person is unique with different life experiences, different struggles, and different patterns. With that in mind, we tailor each counseling session to meet your individual needs. Baptist Children's Home in Carmi offers residential care and treatment to teens with behavioral challenges. Often, Baptist Children's Home can help redirect a teen's life before the need for legal or DCFS involvement becomes necessary. Baptist Children's Home offers teens a whole community of people dedicated to helping them grow and reach their full potential. We are more than a juvenile group home. We are committed Christian professionals who share a passion for restoring families by investing in struggling teens. For over 102 years, the Baptist Children's Home and Family Services has stood firm serving the body of Christ. Thank you for your continued support to make it possible to serve another 100 years.
Just want to follow up with what the video mentioned. Baptist Children's Home is in Carmi, but they also have another outreach ministry in Mount Vernon. And I think that's where the prenatal care is, and that's where they offer services to women that have a child, and they can stay there and, you know, help them get on their feet, that kind of thing. I don't know if you guys know, but there's 3 abortion clinics in Carbondale now. 3. So these people are working to give women a different opportunity. So they're, and all this is based on donations, I think. They also have a campus at Carmi where they help children struggling with issues, and these children actually stay on campus there, and they minister to them, and they provide them counseling and those kind of things. So this is a great, great outreach opportunity right here in Southern Illinois. But they need our help. They need our help. They church participation in the Fall Festival, which is one of their biggest fundraisers, has been declining ever since COVID. They never have recovered. They haven't had many churches set up a booth. You know, we play some games with the kids. There's probably be 200 to 300 kids there that stay on campus. They'll come around to the booths. We're just showing them the love of Jesus. That's all we're doing. This isn't anything huge. You know, we're not, you know, setting up a big display. We're just trying to love on them because that's what they need. This is also a big fundraiser for them. So if you can't come alongside and help us at the booth, here's other ways you can help. One of the bigger fundraisers up there is a quilt auction. So churches all across Southern Illinois come together and make quilts, and they donate them up there. So last year, they did a quilt auction online, so you can get online if you want to bid on a quilt. If you just want to drive up on Saturday, you know, walk around, they'll let you tour the cottages where the kids stay. They have a silent auction set up there. You can walk in and bid on some. If you want to participate in the quilt auction, you can be there on site for the quilt auction. Other ways you can help, you know, in the pews, it's a little envelope. If you'd like to donate some funds to this, the church is already providing part of the money that's collected during Vacation Bible School to the Baptist Children's Home, so you can donate, add along to this, and if you can't do any of those things, that's fine, understand, but pray. Pray for these people. These are people trying to make a difference in others' lives, and that can be hard sometimes, so I know they appreciate your prayer. So if you can come up and help with the booth and wall, I would greatly appreciate it. We're going to meet in the Sunday school class right behind here, right after church, 5 to 10 minutes. Just need to see who's going to be able to go, who's going to be able to help, and kind of figure out what we're going to do. So we'll discuss all that back there. If you've got any questions outside of this, feel free to reach out to me. We're going to be out of town the next couple Sundays, so if you don't see me here, it doesn't mean we're not going. We're absolutely going, and we absolutely need your support. So thank you.
Amen. So see Jordan and Megan, and if you want to know more about it, just stay a little bit after church. And to find out more, if you can't stay after church, holler at them at some other time, and they can give you more details. Let's go, Lord, in prayer as we prepare for our hearts for worship. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful day you've given us, Lord. We thank you already for the first service. And Lord, for what you did in that service and how you're working in the midst of this church. Father, we now ask that, God, you would be with Carmine Children's Home and all the ministry that is set up there to help children, to help mothers, and to help the community, Lord, that we may be a light in a dark, dark world. Father, let us be the hands and feet of Christ in different places. We know that your church is scattered throughout, Lord. And so, Father, we just pray that we can serve for the glory of your name, and that through that, many would come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life. Let us worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
Morning, church. This is Philippians chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. We must stand firm, and Christ is the one who holds us. He is our sure and steady anchor. So let's lift up our voices and worship together this morning.
Christ, the sure and steady anchor in the fury of the storm. When the winds of doubt blow through me and my sails have all been torn, in the suffering, in the sorrow, when my sinking hopes are few, I will hold fast to the anchor. It shall never be Christ, the sure and steady anchor, while the tempest rages on. When temptation claims the battle and it seems the night has won, deeper still then goes the anchor. Though I justly stand accused, I will hold fast to the anchor. upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. In every prayer prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and and generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith with one voice, a thousand generations. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints.
My righteousness.
may be seated. If we can have some ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. And Bubba will come up to prepare to sing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless this offering. Brother Jim Bourne, would you bless it?
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. You know, there's so many bad things that's happening in the world as we look around us. It affects all of us in one way or another. And it seems like times are really dark. But you know, when times are dark, we just need to remember that there is a lighthouse. That's Jesus Christ, the lighthouse.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed about, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us over. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would be no more. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that old lighthouse down. Those big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing around. In my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Oh, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I if it wasn't
Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. While you're turning there, some of you probably already are, I'm going to shut this door or my OCD will just tear me up. Even though it's behind me, I can still see people moving back there. No, I'm kidding. I want to ask you a couple questions before we begin this morning. I want you to think about something. I want you to think about, first of all, why you're here this morning. I want you to think about why you're here this morning. What brought you here? Did you come here today because you felt obligated? You felt like that's the thing to do? Or did you come here this morning because it's your delight? It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. You can't wait to get here. And as a matter of fact, when you leave here today, you can't even wait till next time the doors are open so that you can just delight in learning about Christ and learning about the Lord. Today we're going to look at something to examine ourselves, to examine our heart, to see where our hearts are at. You know, sometimes we have to have that test of our own heart to find out where it's at, because there is a good chance that we can get out of focus. I don't know if you've ever been out of focus before, but you see a lot better when things are in focus. Last night, I had a wonderful opportunity and privilege to go to a football game with my brother. And he don't go to a lot of games. He goes to some. And I texted him yesterday. I said, hey, would you like to go to the game? He said, yeah, what time? And so he said, yeah, I got me a ticket and we're going. And so we met there at the doors and we got there a little bit early, set up at the top. You know, we're trying to get that back, you know, where your back don't kill you. And so we're sitting up there, and you know what thrilled me more than anything else is to watch my brother enjoying some of his friends that came to the game too. Some friends that he hadn't seen in years. There was one friend there that he hadn't seen in 35 years. And I just sat back and I just delighted and watching his joy meet some of his friends. I don't know if that's odd or what, but I enjoy that. I enjoy seeing other people enjoying and having a good time. And my brother growing up, I'm just going to be honest, and he was one of my heroes. He really was. He's 7 years older than me, and he was someone that I always looked up to. He was someone that always watched over me as a young brother, and I always looked up to him. And I remember him being a sophomore in high school. He was 6'4 in the seventh grade. I kid you not. He was 6'4 in the seventh grade, but he's a sophomore now in high school and a good basketball player, but people really didn't know at that time how good he was until there was another hero friend of mine now who was a senior at the time who went up for a dunk and come down and broke his leg. His name was Richard Abraham. And Richard Abraham was a star football player at Tillman, went on to play for the University of Kentucky. And this guy could sing the national anthem like you never heard before, and he is huge. And I watched them come together, and I watched them. I got a picture of them, and I was listening to them. These guys were strong. They were fast, and now they're talking about their ailments. Now they're talking about how they used to be strong, but now they're not as strong as they used to be. And I was listening to Richard, and he says, man, Troy, I had this procedure done a few weeks ago, and it made a world of difference. And I'm really catching to see what's going on. He said, I had this thing called a cataract surgery. And he said, you know what? I look back on that now. After that surgery, he said, I couldn't believe that I was seeing so well and so in focus. And he said, I have been living for years in a fog. I have been living for so long just out of focus where I thought I just needed glasses and all this stuff. And he said, I can't wait for 2 more weeks, and I'm getting ready to have the other eye done, and I can't wait to see what I'm... He said, can you imagine what Saul must have felt like when the scales fell from his eyes? And I was thinking about my message, and I was listening to that, and he said, I was so out of focus that when they did that surgery, everything came into focus. Do you know that as a Christian... that as a born-again believer that you can get out of focus? And as a matter of fact, you don't really even know that you're out of focus until you realize that you're out of focus, until something happens in your life that lets you to see clearly again. Because over time you begin to get out of focus, and maybe busyness of life or maybe sin in your life that comes up, and those things cause you to get out of focus. And so today we're going to look at 2 people in the Bible from the Gospel according to Luke, 2 women of the Bible, Mary and Martha. We're going to look at Martha's life, and we're going to look at Mary's life, and we're going to see, and we're going to examine ourselves to see where we are this morning. So I pray that we all will examine our own heart to see whether or not we're delighting in Christ or whether we're going through the motions and it's a duty. Let's stand together at the reading of God's Word. In verse 38 of chapter 10 of Luke, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't You care what my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. Whenever Jesus says something twice and 3 times, it means to take note. It means to listen up. And He said this very caring and very gentle. He didn't say woman. He called her by her name. He said, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what a privilege and opportunity to stand before Your people and challenge all of our hearts as to duty and delight. Lord, I pray that all of us will examine our own heart to see whether or not we're living a life of duty or whether we're living a life of delight and devotion. And Lord, they too can go together. But let us look deep into what You are teaching here in this passage of Scripture. Open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, exactly what You want us to know today. And let us leave here pierced that we will never forget what You taught. In Jesus' name, amen. So sandwiched between the parable of the Good Samaritan and Jesus' teaching on prayer is this example of Mary and Martha. And if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, I'm going to give you 5 things this morning for you to write down. And we're going to walk ourselves through these 5 things. I don't want you to be distracted from anything else. I don't want you to be distracted from your neighbor. I don't want you to be distracted what you got to do after church, or what you got to do tonight, or what you got to do this week. This message is good for all of us, and it will help us in our everyday life. I don't know of hardly anyone that never worries. Now, there may be some that worries less than others, or maybe they say they do, but there is an abundance of us who worry. And there's abundance of us who let distractions in life come into our life and cause us to go in a different direction. And so hopefully this morning from the Word of God, it will help us to refocus everything. And so as we look at Mary and Martha, the first thing that I want you to write down about Martha is the loss of focus caused Martha to resort to self-pity. The loss of focus caused Martha to resort to self-pity. All you ladies know what entertaining unplanned visitors is like. And while Martha is flustered and feeling more and more frustrated with each passing moment, we see here that Martha has got a guest. And this isn't just any ordinary guest. This is Jesus, the Messiah. This is the one who has been going from village to village and town to town, and he has been healing, and he has been teaching, and lives are being changed. And now he is at Martha's door. Can you imagine a guest coming to your house? You don't expect that guest to come to your house. And I know some of you, you're going to start, hold on just a minute, and you're starting to throw the pillows on the couch. You're starting to try to sweep the rug or kick it under the couch. You're trying to do whatever it takes just to kind of straighten up. I know many of you, when you know you have a guest coming and you've known it for a week, it's taken you a week to prepare for them to come. Once a month, we have a law enforcement officer Bible fellowship at my house. And when it's a week away, I know what's coming. My wife has already been preparing for them to come. And she's already did the grocery list. We've already been straightening the house. We've cleaned out the closets, even though they don't go into closets. I mean, we've actually done everything just to kind of prepare for their coming. But to have a guest come unexpectedly all of a sudden, you're just going to go into frantic mode. And I'm going to tell you something with ladies. You never leave hungry. I know that the ladies that I know, if you go to their house, what do you want to eat? And you just eat all you want. Now, I don't know about the newer generation, but the older generation, my mamma, you didn't, if you left her house hungry, it was your fault. She was going to make sure that she was going to feed you no matter what. And now here she's in the kitchen and she's starting to work. And guess where her sister is? Her sister is in there sitting down. And as she's working, Martha's getting more and more worked up. She's working and she's looking in there and her sister's sitting down at the feet of Jesus. And she's thinking, I wish I could be in there sitting down at the feet of Jesus, but I'm in here having to get everything ready. And all of a sudden, she's like boiling plumb over. And so as we look at the loss of focus caused Mary to resort to self-pity. You see, the first part of this verse, but Martha was distracted with much serving. This word distracted here means to be pulled away or to be dragged away. The implication here is that Martha wanted to hear Jesus herself, but she was driven by her own sense of duties. We should, of course, take our work very seriously, and we should always look at the responsibility of our work seriously. But the problem didn't lie in the work that Martha was doing. It was in the attitude that she was doing it in. The problem wasn't in the work that she was doing. The problem lied in the attitude that she was doing it. Have you ever had an attitude check? Have you ever asked your kids to do something and they did it in the most wonderful attitude? Or if you asked them to take out the trash and this is the third time you've asked them to take out the trash and they take it and they're just dragging it along with them and they're so mad they're kicking it as they're going out and they slam it in the trash can and because you've asked them to do something, I mean, their attitude is terrible. You know, God does that with us. You know, and it wasn't the issue of her working. The issue was Martha's attitude and what she was doing. And the more that she saw her sister in there sitting, and the more that she was doing, the harder that she was working and the madder that she got, and when she resorted to self-pity. You see, the difference between Mary and Martha is not that one served and the other didn't, but one served out of duty and the other out of devotion. And the other out of delight. Do you know that there is a chance that many people go to church this morning all across the world and they go out of duty? They go because they feel obligated. They go because they feel like they have to. This is what I do. This is what I've always done. But what about going to church out of delight? What about going to church and serving God out of the enjoyment because He is your Father and you are His son or you are His daughter and you can't wait to be there? We have to check our own heart to see, why am I just feeling like I'm going through the motions? Why don't I have this desire of delight in my life? Well, it could be that you've allowed things to come into your life that is distracting you from your delight in God. The busyness of life. I don't have to ask you if you're busy. Many of you would tell me you have no idea how busy I am. But then you want to know why you're not having delight in God. And the next thing you know, you have this self-pity. And you begin to get frustrated at everything. You see, again, the difference between Mary and Martha is not that one served and the other didn't, but one served out of duty and the other out of devotion. And there must be a balance. You can serve the Lord. Don't hear me say you just have to sit at the Lord's feet. No, you can serve the Lord and you can serve it delightfully. And you can sit at His feet. There comes a balance of being able to sit at the Lord's feet. This morning when I woke up at 5 o'clock, I woke up before the alarm clock. I'm thinking about my message. I go in there in my living room and I turn on Charles Stanley. I like to listen to Charles Stanley. I still do. I listened to one of his lessons on obedience and then I turned it off. And then I know that Aaron has sent out these songs from Spotify that you can listen to through the week. The songs that we sing now every Sunday morning, he sends out early in the week, so that you can hear the songs before you ever get here. So there's no excuse to say, I didn't know the words. No, it's so that you can delight in the songs that are going to be sung. It's so that you can worship not only here, that you can worship in your home, you can worship in your car, and you can sing along the songs that are going to be sung. But I had a wonderful time of just this morning sitting at the feet of Jesus without any distractions, without any noise of all things, and just worshiping Him. You and I, we need that. We need that weekly in our life. We need that often in our life to be able to sit at His feet. In our daily lives, we can be dragged away with the busyness of everyday things that distract us from our devotion of Christ. I want you to think for a moment of all the things in your life that are distracting you from your devotion with Christ. A pause in awkwardness is good, because you and I both know that we can get so busy that we forget what's best. And then we start relying on our own understanding. We start relying on our own desires. We start relying on our own wants. And then we ask ourselves the question, what in the world is going wrong? Yes, I love Jesus, but why don't I love Jesus like I used to? Yes, I love to serve Jesus, but why don't I serve Jesus like I used to? And it could be that you've gotten busy and you've gotten pulled away, and that's exactly where Satan wants you. He doesn't want you to sit at the feet of Christ. He doesn't want you serving Christ. He doesn't want you worshiping Christ. He doesn't want you in this church building. He doesn't want you out there telling people about Christ. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to fill your schedule up with so many things that you can't think about Christ. And so sometimes we have to start a new schedule. And we have to turn the page over and say, that was that schedule, here's this schedule. This is my life through God. This isn't the world's life through me. And so I'm going to set a new schedule, and I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to serve Him, and I want to do it delightfully. And so this is an examination of our own hearts. And so loss of focus caused Martha to result in self-pity. Number two, the loss of focus caused Martha to become angry at others. To become angry at others. Our world is full of distractions, and the more pressure we face, the more tempting it is to focus on the urgent rather than the essential. It is essential to make sure that you spend time with the Lord. It is so essential that if you look at Jesus' life, Jesus Himself got away often to get away with the Father. Early in the morning, He would get away with the Father. He would always look for those moments to get away with the Father. Even though He was busy in everything He was doing, even though He was busy about doing the Father's work, it was essential that He spent time sitting at the Father's feet. And it is essential for you to sit at the Father's feet. What happens, husbands? What happens, wives? When you start sitting at the feet of Jesus, it changes everything. It changes your marriage. It changes your family. It changes your job. It changes everything. But if you don't, and if you let busyness come into your life and distractions come into your life, you know what you see? Anger. We see anger and frustration all over our world today, right? I've never seen so many people angry. I mean, just about everything, they get upset and they get angry and they get frustrated. Charles Spurgeon said one morning that he had so much to do that day, he didn't know what he was going to, he didn't know how he was going to get it all done. So he spent the first 3 hours in prayer. In prayer. Many of us would give up prayer and time in the Word to try to get the other stuff done. But not Spurgeon. He took the opposite approach. Because he had so much to do that day, he spent the first mornings of it, the hours of it, in prayer. And he knew that God would manage his time, that God would pave the way. But many of us would go just the opposite. I've got so much to do today, I don't have time to pray. I'll do it at tonight when I go to bed. And then we get there at night and God, sorry for being so busy today. I'm just now coming to you. Instead of thinking about the delight and the devotion of being with God, that you wake up first thing in the morning saying, God, thank you for being right here by my side when I wake up. I need you every hour. I need you. And so you incorporate your devotion and your delight in the Lord, not at the end of the day, not even just at the first of the day, but throughout your day. And throughout your day, you are delighting and you are loving your devotion and your walk with the Lord, and you'll find yourself not angry at others, but you'll find yourself having grace toward others. I really believe this with all my heart, that Martha wanted to please the Lord. I even believe that she started out working with a good attitude. But over time, it began to happen. You know, when you're in there cooking and you're cooking for the whole family and no one's helping, and you're in there doing it all and they're starting to arrive, they're coming through the door and you're not done yet, and you say something like this, well, I didn't think it was going to start till 2 o'clock. What are they doing here at 1? That's why I set a time for 2. It's resignating, right? Oh, they're always early. I'm not done. And then the pressure gets on. And then you start yelling at your husband because the rolls, he ain't put those in yet. And all of a sudden, this starts happening. Next thing you know, you're frustrated. And you can't even enjoy it. And then you start getting angry at everyone. You see, self-pity then goes to anger and all of this. And so I really believe that Martha was in there in the kitchen and she was banging pots and pans. She was wanting Mary to hear her in there working. You know what I'm talking about? You start banging stuff. You want them to know you're mad. You want them to know that you're upset, especially when everyone's done eating. The early ones got there, and they're going to leave first. We got dishes. And now everyone's sitting in there, and you're in there doing the dishes. And you're banging pots and pans again because you want them to know you're in there doing the dishes and they're in there sitting down. You see, if we're not careful, we can do that in church. We want everyone to know what we're doing in church. And so therefore, we start banging things around. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. You see, whenever we stay focused on what God has called us to do and not worry about what other people are doing, you stay a lot more focused. The problem many times in churches is we only see what we're doing and we think that what we're doing everyone should join in on. And if they don't join in on something, they don't care about what I'm doing. But maybe what we don't realize is what they're doing. And if you stay focused on what you're doing instead of worried about what they're doing, your life would be a whole lot simpler. Martha was too worried about what Mary was doing instead of doing what she was doing for the glory of God. You see, whenever you serve in the body of Christ, you don't do it for anyone else but the Lord. Do you hear me? You're going to get disappointed and you're going to get upset if you're doing what you're doing for everyone else. Because everyone else thinks that you're not doing it right. And there really is no right or wrong way to do it, but in someone's eyes, this is the way I do it, and so this is the right way to do it. You know what I'm saying? And so therefore, we get frustrated because we take our eyes off what we're doing and who we're doing it for. But when we focus on who we're doing it for, we're doing it for the glory of God. Nothing else matters. I bragged on Bill, and he don't want me to brag on him, so I'm not going to brag on him, but I'm going to talk about him. Bill was probably one of the most humble men I've ever met. And he's going to come to me after and say, "Don't say that." But Bill comes here. I watched him. I've watched him for 15 years of my life here. And he comes in this door, that door, and he comes right in, and he gets his guitar, and he prepares to worship corporately. He's a man of few words, but when he says something, you better listen. There's a lot of wisdom in what he says. But here's what I know about Bill. Bill does what he does for the glory of God. He does what he does for the glory of God. Because I know Bill before Bill was Bill, the new life in Christ Bill. Bill used to play, and I'm sure he'd tell you the same thing, for the world. But whenever Christ come into his life, who become his life, he does what he does for God. He does it for the glory of God, and he loves God. And I'm going to tell you something, he delights in it. And it shows all over him. You know what? You can look at someone and see if they're delighting in the Lord, or you can look at someone and see if they're duty for the Lord. When it becomes work and duty, you're miserable. When it becomes a delight and a joy, there is a joy there that cannot be quenched. It cannot be. You doing it because you love Christ. I'm going to have to go a lot faster, ain't I? Thirdly, loss of focus caused Martha to find fault with others. Loss of focus caused Martha to find fault with others. Martha came out of the kitchen boiling. Lord, do you not care what my sister, that my sister has left me to serve alone? She doesn't even call her name here, Mary. She calls her sister. She's boiling and she's finding faults in other people. That's what happens when we get out of focus. We begin to find faults in other people. Hurt people, hurt people. Changed people, change people. And she began to look at her sister and began to fault her. Martha, I'm sure, has done everything to get Mary's attention. And now she's finding fault in her own sister. You see, Mary, on the other hand, was willing to face Martha's anger for the time devoted to sit at Jesus' feet. And so when we get disgruntled and we get out of focus, we begin to point fingers at everyone else instead of our own self. Number four. The loss of focus caused Martha to question God's care. I'm going to say that one more time. The loss of focus caused Martha to question God's care. Do we ever accuse God of not caring? Because we've already decided what His care should look like? What His care should be like? Part of Martha's problem was she was worried too much about other things instead of what she was supposed to do. Martha's concern over Mary reminds us also of that time in Peter and John 21 where Jesus was explaining what the future held for Peter. But the problem was that Mary wanted to force Mary to serve Christ her way. She wanted to tell Mary how and what she should be doing. And we start to see that if you're not careful within all of our lives. We want to tell someone else what and how they should be doing it. You don't believe me. I'm telling you, people would love to tell you what to do. Am I right? Y'all are looking around at each other right now. I'm watching you. There will always be someone who will want to tell you what to do. So the loss of focus caused Mary to question God's care. Look what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you even care? Have you ever been there? You ever been there and asked the Lord, don't you care? Don't you care, Lord, what my family's going through? Don't you care, Lord, what I'm going through? Don't you care, Lord? And you begin to question the Lord's care over your life? That is exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to doubt God's goodness. He wants you to believe that God doesn't care for you. And the next thing you know, you begin to withdraw and you begin to pull away. And you become separate. A fire dies down when the logs spread apart. And then that once big fire used to be a bonfire. It's now just embers. Where you said, I once was on fire for the Lord, I can remember serving Him with delight, and now I just barely make it through the doors. You know why? Because someone needs to stoke the fire in your life. Whenever you take those logs, and you know what? You push them back together again, they burn better together. And then you push them back together again. That's why the body of Christ is so important. When you do things together, when you serve together with one accord in the delight of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you just blow a little bit on it, and you start putting more logs on the fire. And it begins to burn hotter. It begins to burn brighter. And fifthly, the loss of focus can be eliminated by remembering why we are doing what we are doing. By remembering why we are doing what we are doing. Jesus responds to Martha with great tenderness. Jesus didn't rebuke her, but let her know gently that she was given too much importance to the meal. She was given too much importance to all of these things. And the core of Martha's problem was that she tried to impose her system on Mary. You see, if we forget God while serving God, we will probably quit God. Life with God is both duty and devotion. Life with God is both duty and devotion. So I want to close with this. It's many times when we get disgruntled or when we get distracted or when we get busy, you know what we're doing? We're not staying in our own lane. You ever had someone say you just need to stay in your own lane? Have you ever got out of your own lane? I mean, you drive on I-24, you go through Nashville, whatever. I mean, all these lanes converge. And there's some people who want to be in every lane. They think that they are an expert in every lane. You know what God wants? He wants you to stay in your lane. He wants you to stay in your lane of giftedness, where God has gifted you to stay in your lane. The problem many times is we want to step outside of our giftedness in our lane to help someone else that we think that they're not doing what they should be doing. And there are some who think that they are experts in everything. I'm sharing this with us today so that we will be stronger Christians tomorrow and next week. I'm telling you, you get in a car with Cammie Lee. I mean, I don't know what I would do without her helping me drive. I've learned over the past 31 years, I just listen. And there's times that I'll go and I'll start looking a little bit. And that, you shouldn't do that. And there's times that if you're not careful, because you're looking somewhere else, you'll go in another lane. And there's times that they'll do that same thing too. And then there's this little thing off to the right. If you go off the lane, and then you got to come back over. Why? Because you were not looking where you were going. And she'll say, you just need to stay in your own lane. And I say, well, they're not. Listen. This will help us all. This will help you tremendously. As you serve in the body of Christ, you serve for the glory of God. And stay in your own lane. The problem happens and becomes when you try to get in someone else's lane. Paul built, he didn't want to build on someone else's foundation, right? So you stay in the area of your giftedness, where God has gifted you. And you do it for the joy of God. And you do it for the delight of God. Don't tell someone else how to do a ministry in someone else's area. You know what you're doing? You're crossing lanes. If you just stay focused on your lane, you're not even going to see the other lanes. Because you got your head in front of you, and you got your head to the plow, and you're going to plow, and you're going to work, and you're going to break fallow ground, and you're going to tear that ground up, and you're preparing a way. See, that's what God does. He uses all of our giftedness. You know, God, if you're a believer, you're gifted. Amen. God's gifted you to sing. God's gifted you to serve. God's gifted you to teach. God's gifted you to preach. God's given you different gifts. Here's the problem. Are you using the gift that God's given you? What's really amazing, I'm going to write a book one day, is there are people who are not using their gifts and they're telling other people how to do their gifts. That really blows me away. What? So, I'm really having fun this morning. Yeah. So I want us to look and study more these five principles. And I want you to, that's your homework this week, to go back and reread and look over, write down thoughts, and listen. It's going to be amazing to see what God does in your life when you begin to use the gift that God's given you for the delight of His glory. It's miserable to do things not for the glory of God. It's miserable. It's miserable. I'm done. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I have so thoroughly enjoyed digging into the Word of God and just letting it convict my own heart. Oh, Lord, help me to look at me before I look at we. Help me to look at my own struggles, my own faults, my own complaints. Let me look at the busyness of my day and readjust. Let me be like Martha, who wants to sit at your feet and listen. And if we look and study Martha and Mary was always sitting at your feet. She was hanging on every word you gave. There's some times that when I'm talking to my grandkids, they're looking up at me just waiting to see what I'm going to say. They're hanging on every word. Lord, let us be like that towards You. Let us not be so busy that we're not being about the Lord's work. And when we do serve, let us serve with delight and joy. Father, thank You for Your Word today, that it is sharper than any double-edged sword, that it speaks loud and clear to all of our hearts. Let this be a time of invitation, that if there is someone here that just needs to come and there's something burdening their heart, whatever it is, whether it's a family situation or whether it's a job situation or a friend situation, let them this morning come and lay it at Your feet. Something troubling someone this morning? Don't let them just sit in the pew and hold it. But let them come to the altar and give it over to You. So, Father, we love You. We praise You. We glory in Your name. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.